Good evening and welcome to the City Council meeting for the Library Commission. This is March 21st and I call the meeting to order at 6:35. At this point, I would like to invite one of our audience members, Ms. Sally Fick, who is a member of the Calabasas Friends of the Library, to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Sally. All right, at this time, I would like to ask for approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Agenda is approved. At this point, I would like to ask for approval of the February 28th meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
The ayes have it. Council members, let's start with our announcements and introductions.
I think we're commission members, though.
Well, one of us.
What did I say?
Oh. All right. Thank you, Councilwoman Pangarly Otis. Commissioner member. See, now you threw me all off. Thank you very much. Joseph, I'm going to go to the other side of the Diaz and start with you, please.
Is that your new date?
Okay.
No.
Spring break is the 18th through the 22nd of April. And during this week, there will be no study buddies or peer counseling at the library, which usually occurs on the Tuesday and Thursday. That is all.
Thank you. Commissioner Shapiro.
Just a brief announcement. April 2nd, and I believe you're going to be involved, maybe I'm wrong, there is the City of Calabasas is sponsoring, along with the Teen Activities Council, a senior night celebration here at the in the Founders Hall. And is this something you're going to cover?
Oh, no, I just know about it.
Okay. And there's going to be the Best of Broadway is going to be performing. They've performed for the city before out in the Calabasas Lake. They're wonderful, and it's a special event. And I know that it's sponsored by the teens of the City of Calabasas.
There's reserved seating available. Get in touch with Amy Haber at cityofcalabasas.com.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think that's actually, I mean, just to play on that announcement, I think that's really important. We've tried to get more theater and those kind of events. We've had music, but we haven't been able to get the theater going yet in Calabasas, and it's kind of one of the missing links that make us a kind of a conscious art city. And so I'm very interested in seeing that happen. And the way that happens is people participate to make these groups that come in pay for their way and encourage other groups to do the same thing.
And just one more item, if I may. Last Saturday was the celebration at the Agoura Hills Calabasas Community Center for St. Patrick's Day. We had the largest number of citizens for both cities and from all over. It was a great event. It was a free day for everyone, prizes, entertainment by many of our community members and children, and food was provided as well. And that was a wonderful event, great showing by the City of Calabasas. And lastly, we're going to be missing a commissioner from our dais here, so I say congratulations to Fred Gaines on his recent election.
Commissioner Hill, anything else?
Well, I said what I wanted to say about the arts, but I also want to congratulate Fred for a great campaign, and I look forward to a great deal of leadership on the City Council and moving the city ahead and accomplishing a lot of things that lie ahead for us. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Pangarliotis.
I'd also like to congratulate Commissioner Gaines, with whom I started on the Library Commission. And the congratulations goes not just to the win, but the win, but the fact that it was a very positive campaign. And the other congratulations goes to all of us because our city was incorporated on April 5th. It will be 20 years. So I'd like to congratulate us and the city on our achievements.
Thank you. And for the last time, Commissioner Gaines?
I have no announcements.
Thank you. At this time, I notice we do have a number of guests in the audience. I would like to invite anyone who has any public comment cards to come up and speak. No cards being available. Please enjoy all of the activities here and hope to see you again. This is nice. Thank you for coming. All right. We're at the point where we shall resume with the review of the 2011-2012 library budget with recommendations to the City Council.
Commissioner Brown.
Yes, Commissioner.
I'd like to ask that if our guests have anything to say as we go through the budget and make some decisions, whether favorably or unfavorably, they speak to the admin assistant, Susan Copey, so that our comments, your comments to us, can be relayed by you, if that's okay with the commission, since we had said we wanted it to be a workshop.
When they go to the podium and speak.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. At this point, do we have reports to share?
Barbara, do you want to talk about the report and how, what you responded to the commission from last meeting?
At our last meeting, you had requested that I look up some statistics for comparable libraries in relationship to the staffing and collections. So I went ahead and did that, and I chose libraries that had the similar number of borrowers as our library. And I chose libraries that had borrowers from 30,000 to 39,000 and were municipal libraries and not special district. And you'll see in the table, I actually called them and found out real-time statistics and put this together for you. So if you'll see, it goes from the smallest library was South Pasadena Public Library with 30,013 borrowers and up to Monrovia, which had 39,146. And I tried to find libraries that had similar demographics, too. So I didn't choose libraries that were like out in the desert and were comprised of counties, you know, with very teeny populations. And you will see from this chart that we have the lowest number of full-time librarians. In fact, the average of the libraries, not counting us, the average was 7 full-time librarians, and we're way under the average at 3. You'll see some of the bigger libraries, like Beverly Hills, actually has 12 full-time librarians and 26 part-time librarians. At the same time, you'll see that we pretty much have one of the higher levels of programming of all these libraries. So we did hire Allie, but Allie spends most of her time doing the programming. You can see this is our month of March programming. Everything that's a color is something that we have, and this is for 1 month. Let's see. Well, I'll just do it this way. This, and then the third page. So we have a lot of programming. Then on the next page, I want to tell you, I had made a mistake on the table too, under San Marino. I don't know if I just divided wrong or it was a typo, but I gave you a new table two. And under San Marino, it should be 1163. So as far as items added per year, out of all these libraries, we are at the top because we're the newest library. some of these libraries, it's really fun to see that. Monterey has been open 169 years before we were even a state, I think. Is that right? Because they were, it was a Spanish, so, which is kind of fun. But so all in all, it just shows we're working very hard. We're trying to get books in the collection, and we're trying to do a lot of programming. But we do, I think, really need another full-time librarian. We have 5 part-time librarians, but they, you know, a part-time librarian really can't work just at our library. They usually have to work at another library so they can live. So they have very limited hours for us. One of our librarians actually only works on Sundays because he has another full-time job. Another librarian is retired and only wants to work in the late afternoons and early evenings. So it's kind of difficult to work with the part-time people for when we really need them. Have a question?
Commissioner Shapiro? Commissioner.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you wanting questions or comments
Go
now?
Go ahead. Yeah, fine.
Okay. The only comment or question I have in looking at the table 2, which we just also got, uh-huh. which is part of this, I note that the smaller collection, items with regard to San Marino and Placentia, as far as their collection, still are almost twice as much as we have at this time. And those cities have librarians, San Marino 4 and Placentia 5, according to the chart.
Uh-huh.
But it is based, it appears, in part on the collection, total number of items as well. Or is that a misleading assumption on my part?
Well, they've been open 79 years, so every year they're just collecting about 1,000. I'm not sure I understand the question.
Well, for example, Beverly Hills and others have a collection number of items, and every other city that we're related to on the charts here has at a minimum of almost 2 times the amount of items that we have. And I'm wondering if there's a correlation to the number of librarians based upon the amount of items in the collection as well as the total amount of items added per year.
I see what you were saying. So the smaller number of librarians, the less they have in their collection. Yeah, I think that's valid.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that's a valid observation because it takes time to put things in the collection.
Okay.
The only thing I wanted to point out that we would like the commission to realize is that when we were across the street in Park Sorrento, we had approximately 1,500 patrons a week. We are now having approximately 4,000 to 5,000 patrons a week. So that demand is not necessarily collection demand, but it's the service that needs to be provided, from your reference questions to your assistance at the computer lab to research that needs assistance. So that's where they're, and the circulation desk if you never stops. So that's where you're seeing a lot of the increase also, is the patronage, increase in the patronage. Did I miss anything?
Okay. And that was why we had actually requested that the part-time library assistant position be moved to a full-time position, for that reason, that we have so many people at the circulation desk now too, and that's what that person would serve. Are there any other questions? Do you want to go through the rest of the budget here? Recommendations?
Are you into the survey yet?
No, not yet.
Okay.
But I just want to talk about the reallocate the $45,000 for the computer hardware and $80,000, because we're still working on that ILS. So I'd like to bring that money over that we didn't use in this budget cycle over to the next budget cycle, so that we have that available to keep working on the upgrade to our computer system. And again, we'd like to increase the collection development money. Since we have the money at this point, we should keep increasing. I think there's a big demand for that. So do you have any questions about the budget requests first before we get into the programming?
I should remember, but by adding the library, the part-time and the full-time library, we don't get ourselves into a negative surplus, do we? We're using the surplus to make some moves ahead.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, approximately it was less than 100,000. It was 69 plus 25, yeah. About 90,000, 91,000. And then I'll be meeting with Gary next month, and we'll be going over more of the budget with the estimated revenue, which he expects would be at least a minimum of 100,000 over revenue over expenditures.
Good.
Yes. And then the ILS system would be a one-time purchase. So,
if I may, correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding is we had almost $300,000 heading to reserve from this year. It was 1.9 in revenue, 1.6 right. in expenditure. So we had 300,000 going to additional reserve. What's being asked here is 25 and 69, call it 70, that's 95 and an extra 10,000 on collection from 100 to 110. So 105,000 additional is being asked for. So you would still be sending $200,000 to reserve.
Or not.
What?
Or not.
Right. Well, you know, but instead of 300,000 reserve, you'd be spending 100,000 more. So one of the questions is, you know, is that something you want to do? Do you even want to do more than that? You know,
or add to the collection.
Can you do 150,000 collection? You know, that's how I look at playing with this. I did have one important question. Where are we on hours and days of the week? We're open 6 days a week, right?
Yes. 52
okay.
hours.
So if we wanted to be open 7 days a week, mm-hmm. how much does that cost? That was a question that I wanted to know, because that to me is one of the biggest things, is access to the library. If you were able to provide it 7 days instead of six, can you do that with these extra staff? What are your extra?
I would think we'd have to have a whole nother staff mm-hmm. person and then a couple part-time. Yeah. Because right now we have, we still have to give our librarians the weekends off. We're open 7 days a week.
Yeah, that would require our hourly people are maxed out at 20 hours a week. We would probably need 3 to 4 more hourly people mm-hmm. and then at least one more librarian. And because currently what they ask their current staffing is to staff it at the current hours, not for additional hours. Then there's also the cost of
the heating and air.
Facility
right.
operations.
Right, there's all those right. other operations. Things. Yes.
Yeah.
But to me, that's a question we should look at. I mean, mm-hmm. If we want to be open 7 days a week versus six, how much would that cost? Would that mean that we're spending 200,000 more and we're only sending 100,000 more to additional reserve? Remember, that's additional reserves beyond
the reserves.
Million plus reserve that we already have.
Because
right. that's a decision that this commission should think about, and the council should know the answer to how much would it cost to do that. So that's something, can't calculate it now, but we should
right.
calculate. The same thing on, we're open, I know some of the nights were open later.
Tuesday through
but not every night, and I don't know that we want every night, but is there another night or two that you want to have extra hours, that there's a demand for that?
We're open Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday till 9.
Right.
It gets pretty sparse at 8:30.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that's probably right. The only other night you would stay open late probably would be if you were open Monday, you might stay open Monday till 9. I agree. But again, so the question is, if we open Monday, so we went 7 days, how much would that cost? And what kind of staffing would you need? I'm not saying we're doing it. I'm just saying that I want to know how much, because maybe I would want to do that.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be great service for the community.
It would be fabulous.
Yeah.
Because
there's
not a library open in town anymore on a Monday.
My
you know what, though? Now
we could afford it if we want.
They are switching. Are they because of the election at
Measure L,
they are going to be starting to reopen some of the LAPL libraries on Sundays and Mondays, which is great.
But that's a 4-year phase-in program, from what I understand. And the library, you're going to be Central Library downtown. It's not... This,
not the branches.
Yeah.
This part of the world, this end of the valley,
But our students here on Monday who want to go to the library, mm-hmm. the library's not open. Can we open it for them? I don't know. That's the question we should answer. I think.
could look into that.
Okay. And for those of us, Friday nights are...
family.
Okay. They're supposed to be family nights, but they are a wonderful night to go to the library. And, you know, if you don't have a family thing going on and peruse the stacks and mingle with the other library people.
I'd like to know how much it costs to keep it open on Friday, too. Although, to me, I agree probably Monday through Thursday are better nights to be open late.
Yes,
but,
for the school.
Yeah.
But, you know, you do have to have a full-time librarian supervise the part-time people that mm-hmm. work in the evening. So you always have to have one person there. And then we take our weekends either Saturday and Monday or Sunday and Monday. So then we'd have to somehow do a rotation. I'm sure we can work it out. Anything else on the budget?
Something else?
Do you happen to recall what our need studies said our FTE was going to be or need to be to...
You mean on the grant? It was 15.
It was
15 full-time librarians. 15 full-time librarians.
15 FTE.
Yes.
Not full-time librarians,
yes.
FTE.
15 full-time librarians. And 26 part-timers over and above the 15.
Right. It was 15 full-time librarians.
When we have our full collection.
I think so, yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. Although it's not quite as sensitive to the collection as it is to hours and size of facility.
And
service
and
to the patrons,
it's
the
right.
number
right.
of patrons.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a little bit of sensitivity to volumes, but not as much as to hours and services and size of facility, because if you have different areas, you've got to cover.
Mm-hmm. Training.
And we not only have 33,000 patrons, but we have patrons who expect a very high level of service, both in programming and in customer service.
That's true.
On the collection development, how did you decide $10,000 more as opposed to 20 or 30 or 50, you know? I'm just wondering.
We just try to estimate how much, you know, with the additional staff.
It's a 10% increase.
Yeah.
A 10%
we could
increase.
Probably put in, use the, if we get this additional staff person, then we could probably add that much more in the collection, and this is how much more money we would need.
Right. You know, again, the other policy question that we've talked about before that we should talk about again is, you know, how fast do we want to fill up the library? We're going at a pace that will fill it up, but it'll fill it up over, frankly, about 10 years. Do we want to speed that up or do a one-time big addition and bring in whatever we need to get those on the shelves? You know, those are options.
The problem with doing a one-time addition is people want new books, the new movies, so it'll get 50,000 things in 1 year, but the next year a lot of those are outdated. You have to keep getting new things all the time. You know, part of the librarian's job is also weeding, getting rid of a lot of things. So while we're building the collection, we're also taking a lot of things out of the collection at one time, all the old reference books, the old science books, old health books, things that have disappeared and just not, you know, they're worn.
Barbara, do you call the stacks monthly, quarterly, or is it a biannual?
You know, we usually do it when we get a new version of a reference book, say the law books, the NOLO. When a new version comes out, we put the old reference one in the stacks, and then whichever one was in the stacks, we take it out. So it's an ongoing process. I wouldn't say we have a set time for it. The travel book's the same. When we get new ones, we get rid of the old ones.
I'm glad you mentioned NOLO, because I gave Carolyn Stewart an article from one of the American Library Association publications that says NOLO is going to put legal books on the website free.
Wow.
So, you know, right. I think that would be a tremendous difference.
So people
us.
Still want to check the books out. You know, it's one thing. They have the forums and all that. But, you know, also books where the spines are broken, even fiction, we get rid of those and put new ones in.
Barbara, have you gotten any feedback from any of the libraries similar to ourselves where they're fairly well-funded and are open and are not cutting hours, and how they're responding to maybe the increased flow in their library because of the cutback on the county hours.
Yeah, definitely. When I was doing the survey, people were, the library directors were saying, some of the statistics you should use are visits to the library, the circulation. They're saying that they're just increasing by fivefold some of these places.
Yeah.
They're kind of ripping their hair out.
I mean, we've not gone this route, and I'm not saying we go this route, but are any of them thinking about charging fees to outsiders where they can?
Not really, because then we lose the TBR.
Yeah.
However, having said that, I believe Thousand Oaks is considering it again in their agenda.
Yeah. Yeah.
This week, I believe, they stopped for a while, and now they're thinking about charging again.
And is it because the state may not give us that money?
Yeah. If the state now, by the way, that's been reinstated partially, went through a conference committee, so now it's a lot of that funding has been reinstated with a lot of cuts, but it's not decimated. And we hope by participating in shared, sharing resources, that it'll get back to levels, higher levels later on. Thousand Oaks is they're just having a lot of budget cuts.
Any other questions? Oh, Commissioner.
A comment.
Yes, Commissioner.
The comment is that I think whatever we decide tonight, unfortunately, we won't have the information on how much the extra day would cost. And because we're getting the budget now, but the council will meet on the budget in June, we won't be able to put it in this year's budget. But we will have it to look at for next year.
Starting July 1.
Well, we can bring that any time to the council. I mean, yeah. To the Library Commission to recommend to the council. I mean, you can do it at any time, but we won't have. I won't have the information to you at next month's meeting if we're meeting next month. I might be able to have the information to you in June. If we meet in June, it's up to the commission, and then it can be brought to the council separate with a budget adjustment. Yeah.
I mean, if this commission thinks it's a good idea, that the council should see what it would cost to keep open a seventh day, they can suggest that. And if there's time for it to come back to Library Commission, that's fine. And if not, at least it's recommended that the council look at that.
I always think it should come back to the Library Commission for review first, and then they make the recommendation.
That's preferred. Yes.
And then I just have one question for both Barbara and Carolyn, whoever is in charge of this. We spoke at the last meeting about the disc repair system. Has it been purchased, or do we also need to allocate $6,000 for that?
We purchased it the next
Robin gave me permission to purchase it. It has been purchased. It is working in the processing room as we speak, and it's already. I can already see. I've only done a few because it just was set up a few days ago. But there's DVDs that were donations I could not put in the collection. I was able to fix them with this machine and put them into the collection this weekend. If anyone would like to see how it works, just come by and talk to me.
I just wanted to know so that when we're figuring out how much money to spend, whether we needed to allocate another $6,000. Great. Robin's on top of it.
All right. Having finished that section, Barbara, would you like to continue with the results of the programming survey?
You know, I might hand this over to Allie because she did the survey and she compiled the results. So she's better at answering the questions.
Okay, Allie, floor is yours.
Okay. So when I was first hired, I was hired mainly to look at programming and try to get more people into the library and different things we didn't have. So one of the first things I thought would be really helpful is to actually find out what the community wants, what patrons walking into the library see, and what kind of things that they want to attend. So I did a brief survey that was just a front and back, single sheet, half sheet, just asking really basic questions, kind of what programs they would be interested in, if they're satisfied with the programs already, and just any suggestions and what time of day would be most helpful for them to come into the library. So we've been steadily receiving survey results back. We even posted it on our website, and people actually printed it out and sent it in, which was great. And so I just compiled the results of those surveys, and as of January is when I did the first kind of kickoff for programming, and I've been really working hard since then to include an extra 3 to 4 programs a month that we didn't have before. And we've been having steady numbers at them. I mean, they're not huge, but we have about 10, I would say 10 consistent people during the afternoon time that are coming into the programs, and the feedback's been really great from everybody, and so we plan on keeping the surveys kind of out so we can get a constant response back from people.
Do you plan on continuing this survey on a running basis, or is this a one-time deal?
I think, personally, I think it's a really good idea for any sort of public facility to have a place where people can express their needs and what they want to see, because we don't necessarily always have these open forums where they can come in and kind of talk like today. So that gives an outlet that if at that moment they're at the reference desk and they're asking for a program we don't have, you can simply say, why don't you fill out the survey? That's a great idea. And then we have a running tab of things people are interested in. So that way if there's ever a wall of, oh, what should we do next? I have a list of things that I know at least one person in the community wants. So right. It's definitely something I would like to see, and I talked to Barbara, and it seems like it's okay that we're going to keep it out for the time being. So,
thank you. Commissioners, any comments, please? Commissioner Hill.
I just have one, and that's that when we have almost 34,000 patrons, you know, you got to be suspect if only 38 people responded to the survey. I wonder what would happen if we did the same thing as we did before. And another thing that makes me indicate that it's kind of skewed a little bit is, you know, this city is like 65-35 Democrat to the Republican, and a lot of the choices for speakers are all Republican speakers. Or they're not Republican, they're very conservative speakers.
Correct.
I don't know about Kevin James, but the other four are.
Correct.
And so what if we took, I don't know, $150 and we bought two tickets in a lottery. I mean, we bought two tickets to an event that was fairly appealing to the city, and everybody turned their survey in. We had a lottery at the end, and the winner got two tickets somewhere.
I don't know if we can use, I'd have to check whether we could use public funds for something like that.
Well, it's paying
public
for,
funds
paying
for a public
flow.
Maybe the friends
we're
could
paying
fund.
For a flow of yeah. information, which is we'd have to pay for if we brought in a consultant. So it's. I think it's defensible unless the lawyers
say... Well, you might want to consider a mailer to all the residents, too, or patrons, or at least Calabasas residents.
Well, how did we go out for the survey? Did we send everybody...
I think
no.
all of those are really valid points, but it was the most basic thing possible when I just came in the door and I wanted to get started. So I sat down, drafted up a survey, honestly, in a day or two, printed them out, put them at the reference desk, the adult desk,
oh, okay.
and the website.
Yeah.
That was it.
It
I mean, if
mail.
This is something
I
you
see.
Guys like seeing, I would love to send it out. I mean, I would love to get more of a response because it is extremely hard to get people to fill out a survey. I mean, how many times do you walk by the person at the
it
store
is.
And you're like, I don't want to fill that out.
That's right.
So, I mean, it would be great to be able to actually send one out and do a little bit more publicity on getting that back.
Allie, when you're talking about guest speakers, I don't want a definite dollar figure, but what do you think that a majority of the guest speakers charge nowadays?
So for actually well-known authors like Charlene Harris, who does like the Stookey Stackhouse books, she's like $7,000 for one visit, and a lot of time they will tack on travel and everything else like that to your bill. So this stuff is really expensive. That's why everything we've been doing is kind of a little bit lower. And then I would say for the average speaker, you're talking about $1,500 to $2,500. Does that sound about right?
$1,500.
Yeah, which is a little bit more doable. But I think right now the hardest part is getting people to come in. I mean, we would love to see more people from the Friends, like, supporting our programs and coming into the library, and I think that's the hardest part for us, is actually right now we have all these terrific programs that we've been doing, and the 10 people that show up love it. And if we can continue to get more people into the library for those things.
What about something like somebody coming in and teaching a cooking workshop? Would that be as high?
Well, I looked at that because, like, the Newport Beach Library and various other libraries are doing this whole cooking thing going on, and that's a really hot topic right now. It's just also really expensive, and if that's something that we're looking at, then I can look at that. But right now, I've just been keeping it really kind of low budget since it's just kind of starting out and seeing what we can do. But I mean, the cooking one's definitely a hot topic, but I think that also includes, like, stoves and a whole new set of things to think about. Yeah. But I'm open for suggestions, and if that's something you're interested in, I will be more than willing to look into it. It's just pricey.
Okay, so we'll continue on. You'll continue on doing survey?
Yes.
And I think with more time and more people participating, we'll have a broader spectrum and be able to narrow down into some good programming.
Definitely.
And thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Okay. Where are we at, kids?
I'd like us to do some motions so that we can discuss what we'd like to do.
Commissioner?
I'd like to make a motion that we turn one of the part-time librarians into a full-time and hire another full-time librarian. I'm even open to hiring two new full-time librarians. And I'd like to increase the collection to $120,000. We can separate that into motions if you want to.
Please separate.
Okay. First, the part-time to a full-time librarian. Cost of $25,000.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to have a part-time librarian go to a full-time librarian.
Library assistant.
Any discussions?
Library assistant.
I'm sorry, library assistant.
Okay.
Full-time, part-time to a full-time library assistant. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Commissioner?
I'd like to take the opportunity to have at least one new full-time librarian or one partly used full-time librarian.
Would you like to tighten that up a little bit, please?
Well, I'm just saying it because we may use somebody that we already have on staff, as opposed to hiring somebody from outside, but another full-time position at $69,000.
I like that.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded that we have another full-time librarian.
Can I ask a quick question?
Any discussion?
The dollar number, the $69,000, is that the complete cost? With
yes, it's burden rate.
That's burdened.
Mm-hmm. Right. Any other questions? All right, moved and seconded to have another full-time librarian. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is carried.
Motion to increase the collection to $120,000.
What happened?
Said 220 earlier. Didn't you say 220?
No, I said either 110 or 120, so I'm going with 120, but as soon as we make a motion, we can decide where
I'll
we want to go with it.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded that the collection development go to $120,000. Discussion, please.
All in favor.
I mean, I'm willing to support the motion. I mean, I don't know what the right number is. I mean, I could go to under $50,000. So, you know, I don't know. And again, it's not so much the dollar figure. It's, to me, it's an indication we want to do more collection development per year than we're doing, given that we have the funds available. So,
I'm
You know, like I said, I'm willing to support the motion. I'm also willing to support $150,000 if other people think that's...
How about if we get some input from staff?
That would be great.
I'd like that.
Staff. Barbara, yeah. Would you care to...
Yeah, 120 would be great. Carolyn just mentioned that we're going to have an increased cost with the e-books. Is that right? So
with this cost, that will take care of e-books and be enough to go...
Beef up the collection.
Beef it up.
I think that's enough. What about children's?
We could go higher, and if you don't use it all.
You could go higher. You're right. If we don't use it, it'll just stay in the budget.
Roll over. What would that be?
What's
yeah, sure.
We're asking you.
150.
Yeah, 150 would be, let's say 200. No, I don't want to be greedy. No, you know, 150 would be great. Whatever we don't use, we can't get to use.
It just stays.
That it would roll over or stay in the surplus.
Nothing yeah. rolls.
Okay.
Okay. May I have
amend the motion to $150,000 for the collection?
Second the amended motion.
Brendan. Thank you. It's been moved and seconded that the motion be amended to $150,000. To increase the for collection development. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Is the average book, if there is such a thing, is it like 30 or 40 bucks?
I'm going to answer for
you mean to the shelf?
To the shelf, yeah.
Yeah, I would say less than that, about 25, but I'm going to have Carolyn answer for the audio and the e-books because they're a lot more money.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for a regular book. Physical audio book that we have in the collection goes up anywhere from $100 to $150. And then the e-books and the downloadable audio are about $100 each.
Staggering. Wow.
My last motion is to reallocate to the budget cycle the items that staff has requested. The $45,000 and the 30, I think it is.
Yeah, it's 80
and 80,000.
80 and 45.
30
for the IOS
right.
system.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Total of 80.
I'll second that.
No, it's 45 and 80.
Oh, it's 45 and 80, but it's just a reallocation. It's not taking anything.
It's moving it around.
Do I hear a second?
It was in there before.
It's been moved and seconded to reallocate the $45,000 for computer hardware and the $80,000 for the computer software from the previous year's budget to the 2011-2012 budget for the implementation of the new ILS. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Any further motions?
Thank you.
I have a question. Last time we talked about there was some additional equipment that you had thought would be useful.
Yes, I think we were talking about the RFID at the time. Is that mm-hmm. what you were mentioning? But I need to get this ILS implemented before we go do that next step. So I'll probably come back to the next budget year and ask for that.
What was that? What did we talk about that estimated cost? $60,000?
I think it was about... 87,000.
Yeah, 87,000 for the RFID. Mm-hmm. But that included the barcoding?
It's the little tags are a dollar each.
For all the items and so forth.
That's about 60,000.
Was there another piece of equipment that was like the reconditioner for the...
You got that.
Already. You have that already. And computers, no additional computer stations needed?
I just don't think we have room right now. We put the 5 additional computers in the children's room. We have 15 in our tech room, and it's every chair is taken. So, you know, a lot of people now have laptops. You will see on any given day that every table is taken with people using the wireless, and that is something else that we've increased.
Right.
We've just allocated some additional funds to get a T1 line so we can expand our broadband. Mm-hmm.
Do we have people waiting to use the computers in the library?
Yes, and we have a reservation system, really only on Sundays. I would say, because we have a short day on Sundays. So there is a reservation system. So after an hour, someone can reserve and get on. And so there's a rotation. And sometimes, currently the wireless has been a little slow if everyone's using it, but that problem should be taken care of with the new T1 line.
Thank you. Commissioner.
Thank you. Just a comment about individuals who have spoken to me, a number of them, about what they would like, and two particular items. One was increase in the children's section, which I think you're looking at doing or proceeding. The other is additional audio or books on tape, as they're known. A number of people, that was the only comment they provided me with, that they would like additional books on tape or audio books to be able to use.
And yes, and this increase in the collection money will definitely help with that.
Great. Thank you.
Also, I received an email from Karen Foley with many suggestions for programming, and I'll pass those on to Allie.
Do we need a motion to talk about requesting the analysis of the cost for going to the 7 days?
Sure.
Why don't we just make it a future agenda item?
I'll bring it back. I mean, it's up to you. You can, out of consensus of all of you, yeah, we'll just bring it back at the next
meeting. Bring it back as a future agenda item?
Yeah, I'll bring it back in June or whenever you're, I imagine that would be our next meeting unless you all have a desire to meet sooner than June.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that it gets in the record that we're,
okay.
We all want to look at that. So
that's fine. Mm-hmm. It can be on your future agenda items.
Okay.
Last meeting, there was a little bit of discussion about getting the books processed out of the back room and the stack up that was happening. And by no fault of yours, there's just lots to be moving. How's that going?
Well, it's at the same place because it should help when we have this part-time assistant move to full-time. Because that's her area. So she'll be able to do that, and we hope she's going to be able to train some volunteers. I actually have someone from the transitions program at the high school who is willing to help with that, but she has to come in on a day when she can be trained to do it. So we hope to get that moving more quickly.
So there'll be two people doing that process, or...
Right
do you anticipate
now,
a
we have
number?
Our part-time library assistant is in charge of that, and she has very little time to do it. She usually does it on Sundays, and then she has another clerk help her. But it's hard to get them to be able to move to the back and do that because they're checking in books, they're checking out books, they're shelving. So we hope with this part-time library assistant moving to full-time that she could perhaps allocate 20 hours of this new full-time job to that processing. So she'll be doing it and she'll be training volunteers.
So we can safely say that we'll lock her back with the new merchandise and make it
20 hours a week.
For 20 hours a week and we will move this stuff out onto the floor.
We hope. But you know, there's always more things coming.
The best way, plans of mice and men.
Yeah.
.. Anything else that you'd like to report to us this evening?
Well, are we following the agenda? I think...
pretty much done.
Because we have the Administrative Services Director's report first, and then I might just say something about...
I'm sorry,
That's quite all right.
Just enjoyed talking to you so much, I just wanted to continue.
You'll hear more from me later.
All right, then, if it's all right, I'd like to move on to the next agenda item, and that would be the Administrative Services Director's report.
I wanted to report that I will be meeting with the CFO on April 12th. The whole budget process is starting again to provide the input, which is good that we just spoke, because I have to put together the budget spreadsheets and so forth, and I'll be meeting with him for a couple hours, and besides... The library is a big focus because we also go over revenue, and that's when I'll have a clear idea of our income, our revenue. And then what I'll be able to do, and if the commission still wishes to meet in June, then we can I can be able to provide that information in more detail as to how the budget is looking then. And that's it. But that is one thing I do want to ask the commission before they leave tonight is your June meeting is fine for you. We've met February and March, and then June would be okay?
For myself, I think June's probably a tough month. I think the date is the date is right at the point, right around graduation, I believe.
It would be.
What is
June? That's our normal meeting month,
right.
Is June. So that would be June 20th.
Right, that's the which weekend of graduation.
Is it?
Weekend of graduation,
yeah.
Which
probably
one, two, three of us probably will be pretty crazy.
Happy to move it if that's possible.
When do you want to move it to? That's
back a week.
We move it to when we had last month.
That was only because they didn't meet because we were holiday. The other we can't move it throughout that month because the days are booked. I'd have to check to see if they're meeting on our regular meeting date is the third of every
third Monday.
Right.
Yeah, the third Monday.
But we changed it to a fourth.
Only because we had a holiday and that commission wasn't meeting on that following Monday. That's why I was able to get that date. I can't guarantee that we can move it to another Monday or another day, period. I'd have to check commission schedules.
Would you be so kind as to check?
Yeah. Or do you want to meet in May or do you want to meet in July?
Either.
I can guarantee that Monday.
Either's fine with me. If we want to have a full review, I guess, of the budget and what's going to go to council, then May would make sense.
May would make sense.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That would be then, because that third Monday belongs to the Library Commission every month, if need be.
Oh, in that case.
Yes. So. Then that would be May 16th is the third. We actually have five Mondays, so that would be May 16th then. I know Fred, this doesn't concern.
Fred, will you be there?
Yeah.
The guest speaker?
Would that meet with the commission?
Sure.
You want to meet on the 16th of May?
That would be fine.
Okay. And at that meeting also what you could do is do your reorganization.
Since we are losing a member, I don't know if I'm jumping ahead of the game here. Has that position been published, or do we
it's
have to
all
wait?
It's been published. They always do the terms expiring. Fred's term was expiring anyway, so it was already advertised and taken care of. And the council is meeting. What date are they meeting? The first meeting in April, I believe, or the second to look at these. So we may have a new appointment by the end of May.
Great.
Or that we may have a new appointment. But it will actually be, somebody's appointment.
Scheduled to have a new appointment.
Yes.
That's great. Just yes. Would like to sit with the full board.
Yes, you probably will. I'm hoping you will. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other questions for
okay, then,
Ms.
I have it down for May 16th that we'll meet.
May 16th it is.
Okay. And then we won't meet in June.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Not a problem.
June for us graduates.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Barbara, back to you for the City Librarian's Report.
Back to me. I just want to mention some programs we're having. For the rest of March, we have Yoga and You, which is now an ongoing program. So Thursday, March 24th from 12 to 1, it's yoga instruction. And we're also going to have it Thursday, April 7th and 28th. So it's, every other Thursday? About something like that.
Yeah, we're trying to do two times a month.
Yeah, and we had one, and people loved it so much they asked for it back. So it's just a kind of beginning yoga, and you just wear comfortable clothes and bring a yoga mat, large towel, and it's in the multi-purpose room.
Are you using the same instructor every
yes,
time?
We are.
That would be Deanne Wanger.
Yes.
Very good.
Exactly. People really enjoyed her.
She's good.
Yeah. And then on Thursday, March 24th, from 7 to 8 p.m., we have Lindsay Tomasik and Trees in concert. So it's an acoustic show, and that should be great. And then in April again, we have on Thursday, April 14th, from 12 to 1, Learning to Communicate Effectively. And on Thursday, April 28th, from 7 to 8, we have an interactive lecture on living sustainably. And it's the lecture will begin to give you the basics of how to adopt sustainable practices that improve your quality of life, save money, and help the planet. So you see we're doing more program. We have these noon, the lunch at the library, and then some evening programs. And if you have any questions, it's on our website, and we have flyers at the library. And also, I
Just to give the correct department their due, the April 2nd is run by the Community Services Teen Activities Council. Ours is the Teen Library Council who does the fun fair every year. So it's kind of nice that every department seems to have their teen group. The teens are very active in this community. And just to give a small update, I know Commissioner Hill was interested. Our e-books, our vendor will be ready next month to go live, and it will be one patron at a time, and it will be bestseller fiction.
Good.
Thank you.
Okay. Comment from Commissioner Shapiro.
I just wanted to make sure, because you mentioned at last meeting, that the 31st at 5 o'clock, you're still going to have the opening night Dodger-Giant game at the library? And festivities, quiet cheering.
No confetti.
No confetti. Thank you.
That sounds great. Hot dogs, popcorn.
Just basic refreshments, but people are welcome to bring their own refreshments if they like as well. Everything's free and open to the public, and we'll have a good time.
Great. Thank you. At this time, we're ready to start wrapping up the future agenda items request. I have noted that we would like to look at the possibility of having the library open 7 days a week, basically the cost and feasibility of that action.
I'd also like us to get some information on cost of speakers and address that as far as the possibility of adding that to the budget.
Like Charlene Harris? Love her.
Okay. Robin will put in her request for Charlene.
It's the true blood. Oh, I mean, she goes on.
Any other requests?
Maybe. Do you have any suggestions on how you might want to expand the survey so it's more meaningful? Or how can we help you out, maybe monetarily?
It would be great to do a mailer. Yeah, a mailer would be perfect. The postage for all that, I would imagine, and to run it all off. So that would be really good.
Get both mail postage. Yeah.
Well, along those lines, could we also consider a possibility, because I think Bob had a great idea, of working with or through the Friends of the Library to have some type of drawing at the end of the survey process for those who turn in a survey that there is a potential for two tickets to an event at the theater or music or something. But through the Friends, that way there's no potential conflict for the commission.
Incentives are great.
They
I bet
do.
We could probably work on something like that with Friends of the Library, if we could get some more members to help with those wonderful projects that we have. If I could just make a request or a suggestion, when you do the survey and ask for the input return, possibly a postcard or something not big, elaborate, I'm going to lose the envelope that goes with the piece of paper, if it could just be a card or that you fill out and it's got the return postage already on it.
Yeah, I'll definitely
might be
look
something.
What we can do, what we can do is when the survey's put together, we could actually bring it back to the commission so they can see it before it gets mailed out. Okay. So if you have any comments or input or, you know, that you'd like to see on it, it can be done before it's mailed.
That'd be nice.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else?
All right. Motion to adjourn.
Well, I had asked the president if I could have a couple minutes.
Commissioner Gaines.
If I could have a couple minutes after 12 going on 13 years of being on the Library Commission.
And please.
It's been, this has been really one of the best experiences I've ever had, is being on this commission. And a good part of that is because of, we've had great commissions, incredible commissions. I enjoy so much working with all of you. Our student commissioners have been great. Joseph, good luck to you. And college, Cindy, last year was fantastic. They really brought a great, been a great addition to our commission. I hope we continue having student commissioners. Dave Shapiro, I've known, he was a fraternity brother of mine in college. I've known him for years. In the 8 years it took him to graduate UCLA, he never actually stepped foot in a library. So it's...
Were there libraries then?
There goes the resume.
It's been interesting. But no, Dave has been such a great volunteer and just a wonderful guy and a great commissioner. It's been great to serve with you. Bob Hill is, you know, a legend in Calabasas. He's one of our founders, and for him to come back and serve on our Library Commission just continues his commitment. It's been wonderful to serve with you and have your advice, and more importantly, to have your leadership when you're on the council in helping to set us the course towards the library that we have today. And thank you for all that. And our president, you've done a wonderful job this year.
Thank you.
Congratulations and thank you. And you're such a great library user, and you bring that aspect to the, you probably spend more time in the library maybe than any of the commissioners, and that shows.
Ellen
does too.
Ellen's got some.
I'll talk about Ellen in a minute.
There.
But it's been a pleasure to serve with you and to have you be our president. So thank you for all
thank
your service.
You.
And. Ellen Pangarliotis, you are the last standing of the original library commissioners. But long before that, Ellen, we have this public library in Calabasas because of Ellen Pangarliotis. She's been there from day one in every aspect, everything you see. It's a great tribute. You really, to me, you're one of the unsung heroes of Calabasas. Almost the sixth founder. If you go back to those days, and certainly with regard to the library, that's true. And it's been an absolute pleasure to serve with you all these years. It's been a long time we've served together. And I just appreciate and learned so much, and we've become friends, and that's been very special to me, and I really appreciate it. I do think at times like this, I think of the other people that we served with. You know, at first it was me and the ladies. You know, we actually have a majority of men on a library commission, which is very, very rare. On library commissions. But at first it was me and all the ladies, Karen Foley and Susan Feller and Magdalena Bastos Connolly, that were the original ones, and then Barbara Volk at one point joined us, and Britt Aronson. Am I missing anyone else? I think, and which is pretty amazing, 10 people in 13 years on the library commission. It's been pretty steady. But I think that's what we've had, plus our student commissioners, of course. And the commission has done just an incredible job in bringing this library service to the city. Our city council deserves a tribute. All of our council members over the years have been supportive and stayed the course and took our recommendations most of the time and kept going until we have the library service, and continue to support it today. And I'm thankful to all of them. We've had incredible staff. At our library, starting with Robin, who's been there also from day one in building our library service. We have been so lucky to have Barbara Lockwood as our city librarian. She is a great citizen of our city, and I think that just helps her tremendously to be an even better librarian for our city. But she's fantastic, and Carolyn and Allie, welcome, but all the library staff does an incredible job, and really appreciate it. It does make me think about Gordon Connable. We We were part of a great experiment in public-private partnership in running our library, and frankly, it worked very, very well for us. May not be the answer for everyone, but for us, for that time period, it worked very, very well, our relationship with LSSI, and it served us well, we used it well, and Gordon was someone who was just a great part. You know, he wasn't from our community, and he traveled long distances to be here for our meetings, I remember, but he really, his advice and counsel was so wise and so on track and really helped us to be where we are today, and I think of him as well today. And it's just a great, to me it's a great example of good things that government can do, is to build this library. And we always said build it and they will come, and they have, and it's a great service. You know, the other thing that I like to say is that the community will be remembered by where it spent its money and where it put its priorities. And we show to our children and our citizens and our neighboring communities and the state where we prioritize when we make our library our most beautiful building, when we and when people come to it and fill it and use it, it shows where our priorities are. And what our values are as a community, and that's why I'm just so proud to have been involved with it and to be part of having accomplished the program that we have today. And you know that as a council person that I will continue to be a big supporter of our library as we go forward. So thank you for indulging me a few moments after all these years. It's been a great experience, and I'm very, very appreciative, and I look forward to participating in my new role. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Congratulations.
As long as we're reflecting, who was, I know we had I just want to ask a question. We had a great library consultant when we got into this thing.
Linda Demers. Yes.
Yeah. But we also had, who wrote the wrote our application.
Matt Hayden was the staff member.
That was another one.
Was
he was another
liaison.
Great asset,
yes,
that we had in this whole mix.
Yeah.
And we were, you know, as we course forward on things, we've never been afraid to spend money. And it's all of it was had a certain amount of dice roll. And it's been paid back multiple times.
And Susan Feller and I were the ones who were tasked with reading through the entire grant and seeing if there were any errors in paragraph structure, because a lot of times when you're writing it and somebody's typing it up, they leave out a line or something. So that was a grueling task. But we just loved it.
We should be very proud of what we've accomplished.
Yeah.
You know, and Fred, you've done a good job the whole time you were here. Really aggressively pushed the library forward, and I appreciate that very much.
Thank you.
We all do, and we know you'll continue to do it as a council member.
Thank you.
And the reason I stayed 8 years was to help you get elected student body president at UCLA. That was the whole reason.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Say something, too?
Sure. I'd like to say something also, real quick, Barbara.
I just want to say thank you to Commissioner Gaines, too, for always supporting the library. And without your work, we wouldn't have the beautiful building that we have now. So I know it was a lot of work. It was 10 years of planning and writing the grant, and for all your work at the state library also, which
is great.
It was invaluable to us here. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Short and sweet. Commissioner Gaines, thank you very much. Congratulations. Good luck.
Thank you.
And I will entertain the idea of adjourning.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion is carried. We're adjourned. Thank you.